Once everyone had settled down for the night, it was a lot quieter. I fed a few more branches. Penny warmed her hands at the leaping flames. I didn't. She smiled suddenly at me.
You don't feel the cold, do you? Even after all this time, it's the little differences that still catch me by surprise. Though I have to say, bringing that steel cable to a halt with your bare hands was really impressive.
I don't like to do things in public that make me stand out. That might make me memorable. But it was necessary. I had to try and save Terry. She pressed her shoulder against mine.
You did your best. And it was more than anyone else could have done. It was too late to help Terry the moment he decided to go into the hole. That was like jumping a man with a gun and hoping it wasn't loaded. That hole really does give me the creeps, Ishmael. What do you think it is?
Ellie's idea is probably closest. It has to be a gateway to somewhere else, and given the look on Terry's face, not anywhere we'd want to go.
We didn't see anything when we stuck our heads in.
Terry didn't stop at the top. Who knows what there might be all the way down at the bottom of the hole.
It's getting seriously cold. Maybe we were wrong to pass up on a tent.
Someone has to stand guard. I could do it on my own, but I'm not sure you'd be any safer inside one of those tents. With no way to see what might be sneaking up on you, no way to defend yourself from something that crawled up out of the hole, or from some scientist who felt like wandering around with malice on their mind.
You know, you worry me sometimes, the way you think. Don't you trust anyone here?
Do you?
I asked you first.
I don't see any clear motives for Terry's murder, but there's a lot about this situation I don't understand.
The hole, or the people?
We sat together for a while in companionable silence. It was very quiet and very still. I couldn't hear anything moving anywhere in the site. All the perimeter lights seemed to be operating at full capacity. Penny stirred uneasily and scowled around her into the darkness.
I'm still not hearing any wildlife. You'd think something would be out and about by now. Foxes, badgers, maybe an owl.
Or perhaps the legendary beast.
Don't even go there. That's all we need right now, more complications. Unless, do you think the beast's appearances could be linked to the hole's coming and going?
I'm not ready to rule anything in or out. But the beast is just one of the many old stories and legends associated with Brass Knocker Hill that might or might not have something to do with the hole.
Such as? Come on, Ishmael. You can't just drop a conversational bomb like that and walk away from it.
This whole area has an abnormally high number of stories about people who go missing for no good reason and are never heard from again. I suppose the best known is probably the one about a young man some centuries back who left his family cottage to go out into a winter's night. He had to do some necessary chores or check the livestock. Nothing he hadn't done 100 times before. But he hadn't been gone long before the family heard him cry out in shock and horror. He started to scream, but it was cut short. When the family rushed outside, he was gone, even though there was nowhere for him to go. The open field stretched away before them, all the way to the horizon, covered in a thick layer of snow, gleaming brightly under a full moon's light. The young man's footsteps stood out clearly in the snow, heading across the field, and then they just stopped. There was no sign of any struggle or any footsteps in the snow other than his. He was just gone.
What happened to him?
Nobody knows. Perhaps he found a hole, or it found him. Most of these old stories have no proper ending. They're just cautionary tales. Or the local legends about a headless dog called Old Black Shuck that haunted back roads and chased sinners to drag them down to hell.
A headless dog? How does it smell?